Luke chapter 10 this morning. You'll notice we're not in 1 Corinthians this morning. It's good and right to honor mothers. And I don't always preach a special Mother's Day message, but 1 Corinthians 7 would have had us talking about divorce, and I just didn't think that was the right. I didn't think that was the right way to go this morning. So Luke chapter 10, verse 38 through 42 this morning. It is good and right to honor moms. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2 says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment, with a promise." Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment, with a promise. It is right to honor our parents, to honor our father and our mother, to honor them for the position God gave them in our lives. Whether they stewarded that position well or not is not the point. Honoring is due all who are mothers and fathers. And so we honor moms today. Mothers are God's gift to us. In our earliest years of life, they do almost everything for us, and we could not make it without them. They care for us, they nurture us, they guide us and help us and feed us and bathe us and play with us and read to us and rock us to sleep. Morning, noon, and night, moms are on duty. And with each additional child comes additional responsibilities and additional demands on a mother's time. I love it when someone references busy moms. Busy moms, like, is there any other kind? Like they're the non-busy moms? There is no such thing. There are all busy moms. Moms are busy. Dads are busy too. But I mean, really, come on. Not as busy as moms. Moms are busy in a different way. The demands of life, responsibilities, cultural realities, all of these things can tend to put the squeeze on all of us, especially moms. And despite all of our technological advances and modern conveniences, it could be argued that we are busier now than ever. Whenever there's a spare moment, there's always another responsibility. Whenever there's a spare moment, there's always that closet that needs to be reorganized. Whenever there's a spare moment, there's always some other project that needs attention. And most of these responsibilities and many of these opportunities are good things. It's part of living a well-ordered life and providing and caring for our families. So what's wrong then with filling your life and your time with busyness? Especially if you're busy with good things, caring for, looking after your family, and so forth. Well, this morning we're going to hear from Jesus in Luke chapter 10. As he urges us, all of us, not to simply busy ourselves with as many good things as possible, but to make it our priority to go after that which is best. And I, though not a mom, regularly need this kind of a reminder. I suspect you do as well. So look with me at Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. Luke chapter 10, verse 38. Now, as they were traveling along, that is Jesus and his disciples, Jesus entered a village. And a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister called Mary, who was seated at the Lord's feet, listening to his word. But Martha was distracted with all her preparations, and she came up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the serving alone? Then tell her to help me." The Lord answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and bothered about so many things, but only one thing is necessary. For Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her." Hear the word of the Lord. Let's pray together. Our God and our Father, we come before you and give you thanks for moms. We thank you for the good gift that they are to us. They are given to us by your divine design to nurture us and raise us and care for us. And we thank you that they never stop caring. Father, we pray that you'd bless all moms here today. We also pray that you would speak to our hearts through this text this morning, not just to moms, but to all of us who need to be reminded in our frantically paced society that there are good options and then there is the best option. There are good choices and then there is the best choice. There are good pursuits and then there is the best pursuit. Show us, Lord, where we have gone astray, where we have simply added busyness to our life without growing in devotion and love of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We ask this today for our good and for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Together, simply in this passage this morning, we're going to see Jesus' perspective on two very different approaches to loving him. Jesus' perspective on two very different approaches to loving him. Luke explains here in these verses that Jesus and his disciples were traveling along. Jesus is on his way toward Jerusalem to all that awaits him there as he goes to be the suffering servant, the Lamb of God slain for the sins of mankind. That's where Jesus is headed. Luke chapter 9 and verse 51 is a hinge point in the Gospel of Luke. Luke 9:51 says, "When the days were approaching for Jesus' ascension, he was determined to go to Jerusalem." Jesus, determined to go to Jerusalem, now makes his way, and on his way, at some point, stops in this village, probably the village of Bethany, 2 miles east of Jerusalem. Bethany was home to 3 siblings, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, whom we read more about in John chapter 11. Martha welcomed Jesus into her home. Martha opens her home to this traveling teacher and his entourage of disciples. It would have been quite a crowd added to their home. Martha, being a good host, immediately goes into hospitality mode. After all, when at least 13 guests drop in unannounced, there's much to be done. Food to be purchased, meals to be prepared, details to be worked out. 13 extra place settings, 13 extra mouths to feed. But Martha's got it squared away. She's on it. She's up to this challenge. Which is more that can be said than for her sister Mary. Mary, we're told, is sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening to him. Mary. Lazy Mary. How could she sit idly by while there was so much work that needed to be done? No doubt Martha thought, well, I mean, sure, I'd like to sit around and do nothing and just listen to Jesus, but, you know, dinner's not going to make itself. And so Martha, without Mary's help, sets about her task with efficiency and single-minded devotion. Jesus would lack for nothing. All would be taken care of. If Jesus is hungry, Martha will see to it that he is fed. If Jesus' feet are dirty, she'll see to it that they are washed. If Jesus is tired, she'll see to it that he has a comfortable place to rest. Now, doesn't that all seem right and good and fitting? Especially in a culture that so honored and valued and prized hospitality? Shouldn't we expect to hear high praise coming from Jesus about Martha's exemplary hospitality, her attention to detail, her putting others first, her acting as a servant? And shouldn't we expect to hear lazy Mary receiving some kind of correction, a rebuke from Jesus? That is not at all what we hear. We're going to see two very different approaches to loving Jesus and two very different responses from Jesus. First of all, in Martha, we see the misguided approach of loving Jesus through constant activity. Verses 40 and 41. The misguided approach of seeking to love Jesus through constant activity. While Mary is sitting with Jesus, listening to him, Martha is flitting about here and there, slaving away all by herself. And with each task accomplished, she glances and sees her indolent sister sitting there while she's working up a sweat, and she grows more and more hostile by the moment. In Martha, we see, first of all, a preoccupation with many good things that results in distraction from the best things. Preoccupation with many good things can result in distraction from the best things. Luke says that Martha was distracted with all her preparations. The word distracted there means literally to be pulled or dragged away. It refers to someone being anxiously distracted by something. Martha was distracted by good things. Jesus says to her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and bothered about so many things." So many things pulling at Martha. Providing food, comfortable housing for the Lord Jesus. These are good things, surely. But these good things were a distraction nonetheless. You see, the issue here was a heart issue with Martha. Jesus knows the hearts of all men. He knows what's in us. He can read us because our lives are an open book before him. Our hearts are an open book before him. Jesus knows that what is at issue here is not a mere abundance of tasks that have to be done, but rather the centrality of a heart issue with Martha. Jesus knows that for Martha, busyness in these good things was a mark of maturity and responsibility. For Martha was a mark of godliness. In other instances, Jesus has criticized his hosts when they have failed to provide basic hospitality. You can look back in Luke chapter 7 and verse 44, where Jesus says no one's caring for providing the basic needs and necessities. He criticizes that in a different instance. But here, when all those things are being provided for by Martha, Jesus criticizes her. Because Jesus knows her heart. Jesus knows that Martha is a doer. That she gets her identity from doing. accomplishing, completing, working. And she gauges herself by what others are doing or not doing. She has confused busyness with godliness. She has confused love of service with love for the Savior. Godliness is always more than just the sum of all of our activity. Some of us are tempted to try to pack so much into our days that there's not a free moment in our calendar for the next 2 months. Now, I'm not saying that busyness in and of itself is sinful. I don't think it is. For there will most certainly be seasons in our life which are of necessity busier than others. But let us never confuse busyness with godliness or equate busyness with godliness. Let us never fool ourselves into thinking that just because I have a full calendar of activities or service opportunities or Bible studies or family activities, that a full calendar equals a full heart. Because one does not guarantee the other. More often than not, busyness, even busyness with good things, results in our being distracted from pursuing the best thing, the Lord Jesus Himself. Busyness in service to Jesus is not always the same thing as loving Jesus. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 22, Jesus utters these sober words of judgment. Many will say to me on that day, "Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? In your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? Weren't we busy for your sake, Lord? Didn't we do all these things in service to you?" And then Jesus says, "I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me." It's possible to be busy and even busy in service to Jesus, and yet be without true heart devotion to Him. The second thing we see in Martha, not only is a preoccupation with many good things that results in distraction from the best thing, but also that busyness can breed a judgmental attitude. Notice what Martha does. She's busy, for sure, but she's not too busy to have a word with Jesus, a quick word with Him. And what does she choose to speak about? She says, "Lord, do you not care that my sister Mary has left me to do all the serving alone? Then tell her to help me." She asks Jesus a question which assumes that He will respond in the affirmative. She's actually asking Him like a hypothetical. "Lord, do you not care? I know that you do. Don't you care that my sister is a lazy good-for-nothing and has left me to do everything? Correct her. Since I know you care, go tell her to give me a hand." And you can sense the judgmentalism in Martha's question. She is so certain that she is in the right and that Mary is in the wrong. So certain that she appeals to Jesus. Appeals to Jesus to confront Mary in her laziness. She appeals to Jesus to command Mary to help out in the kitchen. No doubt Martha might say something like this to Mary: "Mary, you are so heavenly minded that you are no earthly good." All of us must beware of the judgmentalism that is bred by our own busyness. Keeping score, I think today it's even more difficult with social media. It has a way of multiplying our judgmentalism. Facebook, Pinterest, Instagram, the standards of what a good life looks like just keep getting higher and higher. And therefore, if I really love my children, then I will provide for them this standard of care. If I really love my wife or love my husband, then this is what I will do, and I'll make sure that all my friends know that I've done this and this and this, so that they understand what a wonderful person I am. Some of us actually take a kind of pride in our busyness. Someone says they're busy. You're busy. Step into my life. You want to see busy? I'll show you busy. Your life's not busy. My life is busy. Busyness can breed a judgmental attitude in which we score ourselves against others who appear to be doing less. And then the third thing we learn from Martha is that busyness can just flat stress us out. In verse 41, Jesus answers Martha's request, but not in the way she expected. Jesus addresses her by first repeating her name twice, Martha, Martha. Now, whatever comes next can't be good. It's like using your child's middle name. You just know it's not going to be good. Martha, Martha, you are worried and bothered about so many things. From Jesus' perspective, Martha's to-do list was way too long. She had chosen to worry herself about far too many things. She was a slave to her to-do list. Martha didn't own a to-do list. The to-do list owned Martha. So much so that she was constantly worried and bothered by all that was on it. Jesus paints Martha as a stressed out woman, overwhelmed by her circumstances, struggling to maintain control and to keep up, and stepping on others in the process. Anyone relate to any of that? We too can so easily become worried and bothered by so many things. Bills to pay and kids to raise and places to be. And many of us are constantly adding more and more to our lives, filling every possible space with activity. And we wonder why we can't relax. We wonder why we're so stressed out. So what's the answer? What's the remedy to our culture's proclivity to miss the best while racing after the good? What's the antidote to the judgmentalism bred by our busyness? What's the prescription for being stressed out? We see the answer in the approach of Mary. The best approach of loving Jesus through priority devotion. Priority devotion. First of all, let's take note of what Mary was doing in this scene. Verse 39, Mary, who was seated at the Lord's feet, listening to his word. Mary is seated at the Lord's feet. She has taken the position of a disciple, sitting at her teacher's feet. Now, this alone is significant, for women were not often valued highly in the ancient world. They were often not given a place near teaching, certainly not at the feet of a rabbi. Women weren't allowed to be disciples. They could assist a teacher in practical ways, but learning and discussing the Bible and theology was typically reserved for men only. But notice that Jesus does not turn her away. In fact, far from it. For in the context, we see that Jesus actually commends Mary for her intentional, submissive, listening, and learning spirit. Mary is seated at the Lord's feet, listening to his word. She is all ears. She is a sponge soaking up what the Lord has to give her. She is listening, hearing, and heeding Jesus' word. A beautiful picture of a true disciple of Jesus Christ. Seated before the Lord, at his feet, in a place of submission to him, a place of learning, a place of listening. She could have sat across the room and still heard him. She could have stood in the background. She could have tried to go unnoticed by others in the room. She could have even busied herself with tasks in the room while listening to Jesus. But no, not Mary. She sits. She sits right at Jesus' feet and pictures herself as a fully devoted disciple of Christ. And let's note what Jesus observes about Mary in verse 42. But only one thing is necessary, Jesus says, for Mary has chosen the good part which shall not be taken away from her. In contrast to Martha's worry and anxiety over so many things that were pulling at Martha, Mary has shown that she is really only concerned about one thing. And as Jesus says, only one thing is necessary. Really, only one thing is really needed here. There's only one thing in this life that is absolutely necessary. And therefore, it is this one thing that has to be maintained as the priority of our lives. And of course, that one thing is pursuing the Lord Jesus Christ with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, with all our strength, which is just what we see Mary doing here. Mary was loving and serving Jesus by sitting at his feet and listening to him, more so than all of the busy service of Martha. There's a very real service that we render unto Jesus, not by our hands or by our feet, but by our ears and by our heart's devotion. And it is very possible to be so busy with so many good things that we rarely sit quietly at Jesus' feet and learn from him. Psalm 46:10 says, "Be still and know that I am God." Psalm 37:7 says, "Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret." In order to be still and rest in the Lord, there's got to be some margin in our life, some space for this to happen. We have to carve out some priority time each day or it won't happen. Sometimes we, in seasons of life, have to be very creative about this, especially you young moms who really are on call 24/7, 365 with the needs of a household and the needs of little ones. It might mean that the laundry has to wait a little bit. It might mean that the house isn't quite as polished and clean as we'd like it to be otherwise. There may be seasons of life that go like that. It may be that, dads, you need to pick it up and step it up a little bit and help out a little bit more so that your wife has a little more margin. Once carved out, what do we do with this time with the Lord? How do we hear from Jesus? We always hear from Jesus through his word. Jesus speaks to us through the Bible. His word read, His word preached, His word explained and applied to our lives. Jesus says and makes it abundantly clear to us all, only one thing is really necessary. Really, when you boil it all down, when you peel everything else away, only one thing remains core, and that is pursuing Jesus Christ. Jesus says, Martha, we can skip the fancy dinner. Martha, I don't need a fuss made. There's really only one thing that is absolutely necessary, and that is for you to sit at my feet and listen to my teaching. That's what Martha really needed. That's what the situation truly called for. There would be time later, and hands could be lent to preparations when the teaching was done. But while Jesus was speaking and while Jesus was teaching, the right thing to do was to sit at his feet and listen and learn from the Master. Jesus said, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Next, Jesus tells Martha that Mary has chosen the good part. The good portion. She has made the best choice. There were a lot of good choices that could be made, but Mary has chosen what is best. And Jesus says that what she has chosen will not be taken away from her. Mary had chosen what was best, and what she had chosen would be hers forever. It was an investment that Mary had made, and she would not lose on that investment. Investment at the feet of Jesus pays eternal dividends in a way that mere busyness cannot. Moms and dads, investment in your own soul, in your own walk with Christ, is the greatest investment you can make in your children's lives. Here's a question. What do you have to show for all of your busyness? Are you wiser? Are you happier? Are you healthier? Are you more fulfilled? Is your family better off? There's only one thing that will bring you true wisdom, true happiness, true fulfillment, true spiritual growth. Only one thing that will bring true blessing to your home. And that is regularly sitting at the feet of Jesus and learning from Him. There's no greater way to bless your family than investing in regular time with the Lord. Not just personally, but corporately. That means the church as well, the gathered body of believers. That's part of communing with the Lord. Beloved, only one thing is needful. There's only one thing in this life that is necessary, and that is to sit at Jesus' feet and learn from Him. To choose the good portion, the best portion, among all the possible choices, among all the possible ways we might spend our time. One thing is needful. One thing is best. One thing is an investment that pays eternal dividends and brings blessing to your family like no other. And that is loving the Lord Jesus with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And that, Jesus promises, will never be taken away from you. Let me encourage you moms today. Pursue the Lord. It's the greatest way you can bless your children. Pursue the Lord. Love Him. Serve Him. Be an example of what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ before your children. Don't get on the treadmill of trying to keep up with society and what all the moms are doing and provide everything that's best for your children. Let me tell you what's best for your children. That you yourself be a lover of Jesus Christ. That's what's best for your children. And then love them and serve them in His name. That cannot be replaced by anything. All of us, the prescription is the same. All of us have that tendency toward busyness in our culture. Jesus says, choose not merely from the myriad of what is good, but be sure to choose that which is best. To pursue the Lord Jesus Christ with all our heart. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word, which is a light to our path. We thank you, Lord, for giving us encouragement from your word to pursue the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus welcomes us to him, and he tells us that his burden is light. And he urges us to take his yoke upon us because it's a blessed one. It's an encouraging one. Lord, forgive us for living according to the world standards, according to popular ideas of what life should look like and how life should be. Let us pursue you above all else. Bless all the moms here, Lord. I pray that you would cause them to grow in their hunger and desire for you. Lord, may they pursue you even in small bits each day. Just 5 or 10 minutes devotion to you even could do them, their own hearts and souls and their families, a world of good. May they throughout the day, as they go about their task, Lord, may all of us be mindful of you and your great love for us and giving of yourself and dying in our place, that our sins might be forgiven, that we might be given life, new life, life that shows itself, that grows from within and manifests itself in our new desires and new hunger for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, Father, we thank you, Christ. We thank you, Spirit. We ask that you would bless the congregation today in Jesus' name. Amen.